சகனாவது சகனௌபுனக்து சக வீரியங்கரவாவஹை தேஜஸ்வினாவதீதமஸ்து மஹவித்விஷாவஹை. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. Let us recite in verse number 7. Mamaivamsho jivaloke jiva bhutas sanatanah manashashthani indriyani பிரகிருதிஸ்தானி கர்ஷதி ஷரீரம் யதவாப்னோதி யச்சாப்யுத்க்ராமதீஶ்வரஹ க்ருஹீத்வைதானி சஞ்யாதி வாயுர்கந்தானி வாஷயாத் ஸ்ரோத்ரம் சக்ஷுஸ்பர்ஷனம் ச ரஸனம் க்ராணமேவ ச அதிஷ்டாய மனஸ்சாயம் விஷயானுபசேவதே. Thus in these verses, Lord Krishna describes the life of a jivatma or an individual being, particularly a human being. This applies to all the creatures, as a matter of fact. In this, theoretically, it's possible that after human birth, we can have some other birth also. It is not necessary that being born as a human being will be necessarily born as another human being. So, depends upon the karma that we have performed, depends on the kind of actions that we have performed, kind of life that we have lived here, will determine what kind of life we'll have later on. However, after somewhere there will come back to human birth. After finishing the round, if the predominant of punya karma, then we will go to some superior birth and then come back. Predominant of papa karma, we'll go to some inferior births and come back. But some will come back, that's for sure. So when a jivatma departs from here, the whole program is set for him. But all various embodiments he will go through, all of that is set before he comes back here. How does this happen? It happens like this, that at any time, whatever is the most strongest karma, most predominant karma, that asserts itself. So, which karma asserts itself or creates an effect at a given moment, whatever is the strongest or most predominant karma at that time asserts its effect. Just as typically in India on a bus stop, there is a crowd and bus comes and who will get the first bus, who will first, the strongest of them, you know. I mean the crowd, he'll rush. He'll put other fellows aside and catch the bus first. Similarly, of all the karmas, which karma will get to express itself at a given moment? Whatever is the strongest karma. And so, of the countless karma that you perform in this life and other lives also, whatever are the strongest, that determine whatever next embodiment will be. When they're exhausted, whatever the next strongest karma, they will determine what the next embodiment will be. And like that, once you reach a certain balance, then you come back as a human being. This is how the process of transmigration is explained. But every jivatma or every jiva ultimately comes back to the human birth. The human birth is the only birth where there is a privilege of free will. So here we have the freedom to perform deliberate actions. Kartum shakyam, akartum shakyam, anyathava kartum shakyam. Meaning that it's up to me to decide whether I want to do something, whether I do not want to do something, or how should I want to do it. All that freedom, that is called free will. The freedom of choice, the freedom of performing action. And that is a great privilege, is a great gift. Because if that freedom is intelligently utilized, then that is, it's a limited freedom. We don't have a lot of freedom. Meaning that our freedom is still within the framework of law. The laws of nature are there, we cannot change them. So we cannot change many things. We have freedom, but a very limited freedom. Like a calf that is tied to a post with a rope, and that calf has movement, you know, as much as the rope permits. Similarly also, the human mind has a freedom within certain limits. Just as when you are driving a vehicle on the road, your freedom, but limited freedom, because the laws are there, the rules of the road are there, and you're supposed to drive according to those rules. And you can't control the rest of the traffic also. And you have to negotiate yourself. And particularly when you're in Ahmedabad, that's a tough job, you know. There, nobody knows what the next moment will bring. That's real karma. Which scooter will come in front of you? What rickshawala will cut you across, and which somebody will come from the side road. So, you have to be very alert, and thus you have limited freedom. The idea is that there are most of the things we cannot control. Just on the road, you can't control the rest of the vehicles, the rest of the traffic. And you have to function also within the framework of the laws. In life also, we cannot control the world. We can't control the circumstances. The traffic just appears itself, you know. And so, similarly also, circumstances appear before us. But we have the control over how we respond to a situation. That much control we have, a very limited control. Just as, in spite of having a very limited freedom in negotiating a vehicle, that freedom is enough for you to negotiate your way to a destination. The most amazing thing is that in spite of this chaos which exists on the roads in India, in spite of that chaos, and Ahmedabad may be the champion, I guess, you know, in all of them, I don't know, it's the craziest place. But still people reach safely. And so they have learned how to negotiate. They create trouble for others, and then others create trouble for them, and each one creates trouble for everybody else, but then they manage. So how that limited freedom which is there on the road is enough to enable you to reach your destination. So also the human being has a limited freedom. I cannot choose the circumstances, they appear before me. The choice I have is how to respond to the situation. That much choice I have. What attitudes I should have, that choice I have. And therefore, Vedanta teaches us some of those healthy attitudes, which if we entertain in our life, then we move in the direction of our goal. Healthy attitudes and values, that's what they teach us. So with that, if you live your life intelligently, you can reach your goal. So therefore, human birth is a very precious birth, no doubt about that. And so even though this is a story of a jivatma in general, it most applies to the human being. And with the freedom that we have, what can we do? You see, we have the mind and buddhi is the intellect. Intellect is our means of knowledge. And with that intellect, you can even know the self, which is the ultimate knowledge that one can gain and one should gain. So now, that is what Lord Krishna describes in the next two verses. The next verse says here, the 10th verse.
उत्क्रामन्तं स्थितं वापि
भुञ्जानं वा गुणान्वितम् विमूढा नानुपश्यन्ति पश्यन्ति ज्ञानचक्षुषः So who it is that is performing all this vyavahara? Lord Krishna is utkramantam while departing from this body. Sthitam vapi while remaining in this body. Bhunjanam va. Bhunjanam meaning that gaining variety of experiences. Enjoying various experiences. Gunanvitam. And identified with the different gunas. So this, since the gunas are already discussed earlier, therefore Lord Krishna mentions gunanvitam, endowed with the gunas. What are these gunas? These gunas are the different dispositions of mind, different states of mind. The mind is said to be made up of three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. Sometimes we find ourselves very cheerful. Sometimes cheerful for no reason at all. Sometimes wake up in the morning, you are cheerful. Or if you are lucky in the during day also, you may be cheerful. So you feel happy. Sometimes just looking at the flower, enjoying the fragrance of flower, looking at the color, you know, things like that just make you happy. So at that time the mind becomes clear. Like the pool of water, when it becomes very clear, it becomes transparent. At that time you can see what is at the bottom of that pool. So sometimes our mind becomes transparent, free from all its impurities, all its worries, anxieties, fears, insecurities, all of their problems, all these go away momentarily. When do they go away? When some punya karma, some virtuous action in the past, when it fructifies. So understand what gives us happiness. Looks like this object gives me happiness. But really, a situation gets created when my mind becomes happy. You tell me some nice word and I become happy. I happen to see the sun rise and I become happy. I want to taste some good food and become happy. And some nice bhajan and then you become happy. Whatever be the cause of happiness, generally speaking, whenever the experience of happiness comes, it is a result of, as I said earlier, punya karma. The past punya karma, some virtuous this, but this must be fructified to create experience of happiness. At that time, my mind becomes clear. Momentarily becomes clear of all anxieties and worries and likes and dislikes, and usually, normally, they muddle my mind. There are moments when the mind becomes clear. I find myself happy or cheerful. Or often, after, you know, in the morning also, we find our mind is quiet, contemplative. Therefore, they prescribe that the prayers, meditations, are best done in the morning, because that is when the mind is well rested and it is calm. That is the sattvic state of mind. The mind enjoying what we call sattva, clarity. Sattva means clarity, purity. More often than not, the mind is agitated. There are worries, anxieties, stresses. Swami, life is, you know, that's how life is. That is when the mind is agitated, that time it is under the influence of rajas. Rajas means impurity. Dust, rajas means dust. So when mind becomes dusty, impure, agitated, and sometimes mind just becomes dull, sleepy, slothful, dull, inactive. Somehow you don't feel like doing anything. Even if you listen to something, nothing enters the mind. Nothing appeals to you. Movie? No, I don't care. come on, have your food, I don't want. Tamas. So that is a state of tamas, which is darkness or dullness. So the mind is made up of these three dispositions, sattva, rajas, and tamas. They are called gunaha, guna. Gunanvitam. Understand that these are states of mind. It is mind that is clear, sattvic. It is mind that is agitated, rajasic. It is mind that is dull, tamasic. What happens is that we habitually identify with the mind. Gunanvitam, endowed with gunas, identify with the gunas. Who am I? I am the knower of these gunas. Sometimes we know also, Swamiji, my mind is very dull right now. That means there is someone who knows a dull mind. Understand that I am not the mind. Who am I? I am the knower of the mind. You know, like our Swamiji's example of this man coming to him and telling him, Swamiji, I am restless. Swamiji says, you are not restless. Yes, I am restless. No, no, you are silence. But Swami, I am telling you I am restless. So to tease him, Swami says, but you are all silence. I am restless. Because more restless. You are all silence. And the fellow becomes so restless that then he, before he went out of control, Swami stopped teasing him further and said, okay, so why do you say you are restless? I know that I am restless. How do you know you are restless? I know my mind is restless. So, your mind is restless. Meaning that you are the one who is aware of the restless mind. So really, what is our true status? Our status is that we are aware of the states of mind. Whether the mind is happy, habitually what happens? When the mind becomes happy, I declare myself, I am happy. When the mind becomes unhappy, I declare, I am unhappy. When the mind becomes dull, I say, I am dull. That's a usual habit. Now and then we say, Swamiji, my mind is not in the right place today. Like sometimes our mother used to say, you know, don't come near me today. My mind is not, you know, don't go near. So sometimes we also know the mind as my mind, understand? Swamiji, very bad thoughts are coming in my mind. Or good thoughts are coming in my mind. Today I had a nice inspiring thoughts. I had a wonderful meditation today. So whenever I report like this, that shows that I am aware of what kind of thoughts there are in the mind. So who am I? Important thing is, I am not the mind. Mind is the subtle body. So there is gross body, there is subtle body, there is third entity called the self or the consciousness. And who am I? I am the self. I am the consciousness. I am different from them because I am aware of them. The one who is aware is always different from the object of awareness. The simple rule is that I am right now aware of this flower. I am different from flower. So drishta, the seer, is always different from drishya, the seen, the subject and the object. The flower is the object, I am the subject. Subject is always different from the object. However, what happened in our life is that somehow that distance of subject and object is erased because we are not alert. We are not alert, we habitually fall into the old rut and we forget ourselves. Like, if that actor who is acting as a beggar, if he is not alert, as long as he remembers his true identity, so long he knows that I am not the beggar, I am the one who is the actor behind the beggar. But suppose that fellow, for some reason, is not alert. Suppose he is not in his right mind, because before he left home for coming to stage, before he left home, he had an argument with his wife, and a heated argument. And she was upset, and he was upset, and he was angry. And that same anger, he comes, you know, he brings here. That anger doesn't go away. The husband remains. And so even when he's driving in his car on the road, husband who is driving, and he's shouting and screaming at every fellow around who is cutting him across, who is not going fast enough. In India, you have to watch this. Oh, people honk. You want to go fast and the fellow in front of you is going slow, you just push him. This fellow also was so angry at his wife, and the anger is, there is a hangover of this anger. And that being the case, he is still not himself. Even when he comes to the theater where the performance is, he is still angry. He changes his costume, he is still angry. Sometimes things don't leave us quickly. Even when he comes to the stage, he is still angry. He is not an actor. Who is he? He is an angry person. So now, one of the scenes is that this beggar is sitting on the roadside and is begging, and the people, you know, pass one by one, and they treat this beggar in their own different ways. Some people are very kind, they give him something. Some people are indifferent, they don't look at him. Some people are a little mischievous, and they throw something. Some people are nasty, and they insult him. Different kinds of people are there. So, according to the scene, according to the script, this somebody comes along and insults this fellow, tells him some bad words. You stupid, you are, such a hefty person. Why are you backing? This fellow gets angry, you know. And he gives him one punch. Who are you to tell me? Because he's not the actor, he's husband, you know. And so husband is not gone. The angry person has remained, so he's not alert. Momentarily, he forgets what his true identity is, and he has become the beggar. The curtains come down, because this was not expected, this was not part of the script. And when he's asked, why did you do that? Why did he insult me? But that he's supposed to insult you, and you are supposed to bear that insult. You are a beggar. So sometimes when not alert, what happens? You become identified. While watching movie also sometimes, you get so engrossed in the movie that you become identified and the tears start rolling from our eyes. So this man is sitting there in the theater with the tears rolling from his eyes. So his neighbor asks, what happened? My wife has left me. That fellow's wife has left. Where in the movie, his wife is sitting beside him. But he is crying as though, because identification. Similarly, even though the thoughts are going on in the mind, a good thought is a thought in the mind, an agitated thought also is a thought in the mind, a bad thought also is in the mind, a dull thought also is in the mind, but because of lack of alertness, this Paramatma here, what is his problem? His problem is because of lack of alertness, he habitually identifies with this body-mind complex and judges himself as a limited being. So when the mind becomes happy, he becomes happy. Like while watching movie or watching the Olympics. So if you are rooting for whatever team you are rooting for, so US team. Then the US athletes wins, has a gold medal, you jump here. I'm not watching the athletics, but I remember, I'm not watching the Olympics, but I remember having in the past watching baseball game and the football game and things like that, and you have your favorite players and favorite team, your favorite quarterback, when he runs and scores a goal, you jump with joy. I don't even know how to hold that ball, really, you know, but I have the same joy as I have scored that point. This is the identification. So you are happy when the mind is happy. You are unhappy when the mind is unhappy. No reason at all. Who are you? Your status is similar to that of an actor playing the different roles, and the actor is always different from the roles. But then, because of identification, actor becomes the roles. Something similar has happened to us, that one who has to enter here is none other than Paramatma. And he has very willingly put on this costume of the body, mind, sense complex, because then only he can enjoy this. See, when can you enjoy the fivefold objects when you are in this body? So Bhagavan thought, let me enjoy. So for enjoyment, he created all these objects. This is one story, you know. Don't ask me too many questions, but one story. For enjoyment, he created all this wonderful world. To enjoy those objects, he created this body-mind complex and entered here for what? So that he can enjoy things. But in that process, somewhere along the line, he forgot who he is and he is identified with this upadhi, with this costume, and has become a jiva. He's not a jiva. Even when the actor acts as a beggar, he's not a beggar. Even he forgets, and he thinks that then also he's not a beggar. So when that is what has happened here, that this Paramatma has forgotten his true nature and has as though become a jivatma because of identification with this body-mind-sense complex. That's what Lord Krishna says. Utkramantam. So when the beggar is crying, who is crying? Actor is crying. When the beggar is begging, who is begging? Actor is begging. Beggar is singing, who is singing? Actor is singing. When the beggar is happy, actor is happy. Beggar is insulted, actor is insulted. You remember this. Similarly also, when there is happiness, who is gaining all these variety of experiences? The sattva, rajas, tamas, all different states of mind. Who is gaining those experiences? Remember who has entered here? Lord Krishna says, I have entered. I am acting as a fraction of myself. I am acting as jivatma. So the one who is in Nara or individual is none other than Narayana. So Narayana actually is acting through as Nara. Utkaramantam sthitam vapi bhunjanam va gunanvidam. Departing from here, who departs, you know? Really, the subtle body departs. What do I say? I am departing. The subtle body enters. Who say? I am entering. This body is born. What do I say? I am born. The body is growing old. What do I say? I am growing old. The body is dying. What do I say? I am dying. So the space between the spectator and the movie, between the subject and the object, even though there is a space, the space has disappeared only on account of identification. Space is there, but because of identification, the space is as though not there. So Lord Krishna says, Vimudaha nanu pasyanti. Atma, the self, is closer than the closest. It's a utkramantam, departing. Then also Atma is very much there. Sthitam, while doing in this body, Atma is very much there. I am the Atma. Bhunjanam va, while gaining variety of experiences through organs of perception and through organs of action, then also, who is doing all of this? Atma is doing it. Gunanvitam, even when the different states of mind are there, and because of identification, I feel happy, unhappy, dull, etc., who is feeling all of that? Atma is feeling. Remember this. So why have we told the story? To tell us that, who is going through all these experiences? Lord Krishna says, I am going, meaning that it is Paramatma, that alone there is no other being. Vimudha nanu pasyanti. I am so close. Lord Krishna says, I'm so close, closer than the closest. How close? My own self. Vimudaha nanupashyanti. But those who are deluded, they do not see. Vimudaha. So, vividhena mudaha. Variety of delusions are there, sometimes happy, sometimes unhappy, and variety of delusions are there. Variety of notions are there, variety of conclusions are there, variety of complexes are there. That being the case, that we can't see the self, which is our own self. Vimura, so Shankaracharya says, dushta dushta bhoga vishaya bhoga balakrasta chetastaya. Because my mind is always pulled apart. My mind is not where it should be. It is not centered upon the self. The mind is always directed away from the self. Because of this, ragadveshas, the attractions, then aversions. These always make my mind extrovert. Therefore, mind is always looking away from myself, not at the self. Nanupashyanti. Therefore, vimudaha, the deluded people, meaning most of the people, do not see me. Says here, anukroshati Bhagavan. Lord Krishna really expresses a great regret. How sad it is. We don't have to go anywhere. In fact, we do not have to create a new experience also. Because in every experience, Bhagavan is there. Is there in what way? As my very self, Bhagavan or Ishvara is there in every experience. No experience can take place without him. As I said, when the beggar is crying, then also the actor is very much there, because without the actor, there cannot be a beggar. When the beggar is happy, then also actor is there. Beggar is unhappy, then also is there. Beggar is insulted, then also is there. Beggar is accepted, then also is there. Actor is closer than the closest to beggar. Actor is the very self of the beggar. And similarly, Ishvara Brahman or Paramatma Satchidananda is the very self of mine. But then, because my mind is always distracted away, all the time planning, what next? My mind is always busy. One end has been achieved, now what about the next one? One meal is over, what about the next meal? One vacation is over, what are the next vacation? One promotion is over, what are the next promotion? One goal has been achieved, what are the next goal? The mind is always busy, planning and scheming about what is not there, and therefore the mind has no leisure at all to appreciate what is. Because the mind is always occupied with what it does not have. The $1 million that I have, they don't count. The second million that I don't have, that is what my mind is occupied with. Therefore, this person does not live in the present. He lives either in the future or lives in the past. And therefore, misses the present. Vimudaha nanupashyanti. Those people who are thus deluded, all the time worrying about what happened in the past, all the time thinking about that, or what will happen in the future, all the time concerned about that. Oh, what is happening in the present everywhere in the world except for his own self? Even when I think of myself, it is the mind I am thinking of anyway. Pashyanti jnana chakshushah. Whereas those with the eye of knowledge, they see. So what is the eye of knowledge? Eye of knowledge means the knowledge in the intellect. So those who are in the present, those who are with what is, not with what was and not with what will be, but those who are with what is. And then also we require this teaching, even to understand our experiences. So what does Vedanta help us do? Vedanta helps us to understand our experiences. Because in every experience, the self is always involved. There cannot be an experience without the I. Is it not so? When I say, I am happy, the I am always is there. I am unhappy, I am again is there. I am good, I am is there. I am bad, I am a saint, I am a sinner. Whatever I am, in all those notions, the I am is very much there. Then no experience can there be without the I am being there. In the morning, the first one who wakes up is I am. That is the first one wakes up. Then all the happy and unhappy fellows come, then they attach themselves to him. There may be a moment when there is just a general awareness and nothing else when you wake up in the morning. And then particular awareness comes, where I am. Oh, what's the time? I jump up. Where am I? In my bed. What's the time? Oh, so late. Get ready for the class. I become aware of the particular things afterwards. But first of all, there is a general awareness. I am. So there cannot be any experience without I am. But that is lost sight of, because what becomes important is happy, unhappy, etc. Success, failure, all of these take up so much of my mind. So, Swamiji, so many responsibilities we have, so much we have to do. Yes, true. But unfortunately, that is why my mind is always engaged. And fails to see what is obvious. Fails to see, I am obvious, always there, waiting for attention, but there is no attention. This failing to see the obvious, you heard of a Swamiji's story, you know, with Sherlock Holmes, and what is his companion? Watson, yeah. So Sherlock Holmes and Watson, once upon a time were camping, it seems, in a forest. And there was a tent. At night they were sleeping under the tent. At about 2 o'clock at night, Sherlock Holmes wakes up and awakens Watson. Hey Watson! Yes, sir. What do you see? Oh, I see the sky. What does it mean? Looks like that tomorrow must be in the third date of the lunar calendar, looking at the position, you know, the size of the moon. Look at the clouds, looks like that tomorrow is going to be a rainy day. Looking at the breeze, looks like that there are going to be gusts of wind. Very elaborate, very, you know. And so, he really described in great detail what he saw. And then, Sherlock Holmes says, idiot, somebody has stolen our tent, you know. He could not have seen the sky, you know. That obvious thing. Missing the obvious. And so, we are so busy with other things that miss the obvious. What is the obvious? I am. Always waiting for my attention, poor thing. But I have no time. My attention is so distracted. Everything else has the ability to draw my attention. This one is too silent. That is the problem. Doesn't talk. I am, doesn't talk. It is silent. It is silently there. It does not assert itself. Does not oppose anything. Happiness comes, still I am illumines that. Unhappiness comes, I am illumines that. Whatever comes, I am illumined there. It doesn't say this is right, wrong, doesn't oppose anything. It's ever there, ever silent. And therefore, who can see? Pashyanti jnana chakshusha those who possess a mind which is like the self, self is silent, the mind also should be silent. The self is ever pure, mind also should become pure. The self is all accommodative, mind also should become all accommodative. Self does not resist anything, the mind also should become free from resistance. With that kind of a mind, jnana chakshushaha, those of the chakshu means eyes, the eye of knowledge, that mind is the eye. So thus, when the mind becomes tuned up with the self, the mind which is normally tuned up with the world, sees the world and misses the experience of self. Therefore it becomes important to make the mind free from its preoccupation in the world. So Yoga Shastra says, Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodha. What is yoga? Is a state of mind which is devoid of all the worldly thoughts, all the thoughts. Tada Drashtuhu Swarupe Avasthanam. At that time the drashta gains an abidance in his own self. So describing the same thing, the next verse tells us,
Yatanto yoginas chainam pasyantyatmanyavasthitam yatanto pyakrutatmanah nainam pasyantya chetasah. Yatantaha yoginah chenam pasyanti atmani avasthitam. Yatantaha yoginah, the yogis who are striving, who are diligent, who are making the right effort, enam atmani avasthitam pasyanti. Enam, say this self, that is obtaining the buddhi. The self, meaning atma or I, shines all the time. Is what? I am. It shines constantly. So there is one light that we cannot switch off. You can switch off everything else. Meaning that you have the freedom to switch off everything from your mind. You can close your eyes and switch off all the colors and forms. You can plug your ears and switch off all the sounds. You can even close your nose and switch off all the smell. You can switch off everything. You can withdraw your mind from all activities and switch it off. But one light you can never switch off. What is it? I am. Because it shines on its own. Everything else shines because the mind shines. And therefore, if the mind is switched off, everything is switched off. In the deep sleep state, for example, when the mind is not shining, everything is switched off. So that's great. We switch off ourselves completely. That's a great boon, you know. This deep sleep state is a great boon that it gives you time to switch off. You are fed up during the whole day, tired, exhausted. You want your own space. In India, where the family are so crowded, where is the space? But you are provided a space. Ishvara has provided a space. What is the space? The deep sleep state. You can be in the midst of a whole crowd. In the train, people are so crowded. But that movement of the train in the evening and with all its rhythm is such that slowly people start, you know, shaking and dozing off and then gone. Some people are very lucky. They can sleep under any conditions. They can sleep while sitting also and slowly he leans over somebody, other fellow leans over him, this fellow's hand goes there, that fellow's hand goes there. It's like a spaghetti, you know, you see the people. But still, each one is in their own space. In spite of being so crowded, there's no room there even to sit. And still, one is in one's own space. What is the space? One has completely tuned off everything. Mind is completely withdrawn, and even then also that I am shines, even then also, understand. That is why we wake up in the morning and say that I slept well. I did not know anything. So, I did not know anything, meaning that there was nothing to know. So that I am always shining. Therefore, yatantaha. Those people who are making the right kind of effort, those people who have tuned up their mind to appreciate the I am, that requires no doubt a great deal of effort. Therefore, the yatantaha, those people who are striving, those who are diligent, those who are making the right kind of effort. Yoginaha, the yogis mean the aspirants here, those who are the seekers. Yatanto yoginaschenam pasyanti atmani avasthitam, that I am all the time shines in my own mind, in my own intellect. Meaning that the kind of state that exists during deep sleep, if you can create during the waking state. The problem with deep sleep is that there is no awareness, meaning that there is a blanket of ignorance. Therefore, even though you are by yourself in your own space, still you are not aware of that fact. And therefore, even though you have the right experience, you don't have the benefit of that experience because there is no mind which is with you are aware of things. So the mind or the intellect is our faculty of knowledge. So the kind of experience you have in the deep sleep, which is by God's grace, we have to create during the waking state. When the mind is tuned off from everything else, meaning that it is not running out to the sense organs, is not worried about the past, not worried about the future, not worried about anything at all, it is just in the present. Yatantaha. So those who are making or striving to create this state of mind, yoginaha pasyanti, atmani avasthitam enam pasyanti, they see the atma as their own self. Even when you do not see, Atma is always shining. I am is always shining, whether we look at it or not. It is waiting for us to look at it. It is always there, very faithful. Think that, what is it that, I remember many years ago in the yellow stone park, there was the old faithful. Every hour, it comes, you know, there is a fountain. It's all volcanic region, isn't it? And so, I think every hour, faithfully, the spring comes. It's for a while and then goes away. Well, it comes everywhere, but this is a faithful, always is there. The eye is always shining, constantly shining, because to shine in this nature, it cannot but shine. Those who value, first of all, those who have value for this knowledge, anyway. Who will even strive, who will even bother about it? Who has time for that? The I am is trying to draw our attention, but who has the time and the leisure? First of all, a value for knowing Him. That knowledge of the Self will bring an end to all my sorrow. Tardishogam Atmavit, as Upanishad says, Atmavit, the knower of the Self, crosses the grief. The life will not come to an understand, life you will live. But then alone we live the life correctly. Right now also we are living the life, but with ignorance. And all the kinds of
the complexes that ignorance creates. So if you realize that, what is causing the sorrow in my life? What is causing unhappiness, any kind of problem in my life, is lack of this knowledge, is ignorance of the self. Normally, we always think that the problems are created by the world. Swamiji, my spouse is like that, my children like that, my boss is like this, my colleagues are like that, my neighbor is like that, and whatever. Everybody is like what they are. And I'm sure they are like that. I don't question that. I'm sure that people are what they are. They keep on pushing the buttons all the time. But then our contribution to buttons is there's a wiring behind the button. So when you push the button, and then the doll starts jumping up and down. So you know freedom in the world pushing the buttons. That they will do. That's our prarabdha. Understand that the circumstance in which we are is our own prarabdha, our own karma. And the way we are treated also is our own karma. Where is our freedom? To remove the wiring. That's what freedom is. So, people, when you see the button, there is a normal tendency to push it, you know. The switches are like that. Like children, they like the switch all on, you know. The switch always is very tempting. So, you know, buttons are very tempting, the people push them. It is that game. What we need to do is to remove that wiring, which is all due to ignorance. All kinds of wiring is there. Yatanto yoginaschenam pashyanti atmani avasthitam. And so, shining as a very self, shining in my own mind as a very self, then the yogis, meaning those who are striving in the right direction, those who are living the life intelligently, as under the guidance of the scriptures and the teachers, right values, right attitudes. And of course, exposure to this teaching, sharanam, listening to this teaching, mananam, listening today and then after another 15 days, you know. So normally our listening is like this. We come to the class today. Which verse is that? Oh, which 7th verse, okay. We close the book. When do we open it again? When the next weekend class comes, at the most. In between, if the guests came, if my daughter-in-law came, if my grandchildren came, then this poor class, this is the last priority. This thing, then, when everything works out, then again I come to the next class. Open, you know, where were we last time? So even if Shravanam is there, there is no mananam at all. There is no follow-up. Meaning that there is no deliberation upon this. Mere listening is good, of course, very good. Do that. But it should be also followed by a deliberation upon what you listen constantly as to what does it mean to me. This is all stories are told. But the lots of stories the Swamis tell. Sherlock Holmes, all night. So it's enjoyable. But does it mean anything to my life? What does it apply? How does it apply to me? How am I mind occupied with various things? How do I miss the obvious? Vimuraha. When they are all the time occupied, how do they miss the obvious? So pashyanti atmanyavasthitam yatantopi akritatmanah nayanam nayanam pashyanti achetasah. Says vimura nanu pashyanti. Same thing. Yatantopi. Even though striving, even though listening, even though shravanam is there, mananam is there, all diligent efforts are there, and still people do not see, Lord Krishna says. Shravanayapi bahu vidyo na labhya. Shrunantopi bahu yanna vidyo. Says Kathopanishad, Shravanayapi bahu vidyo na labhya. Most people are not lucky enough, fortunate enough, even to listen, to be exposed to the teaching.
Most people are not.
Shrunvantopi bahoyanna vidyuhu. Even while listening it, even for a long time also, there are many who do not come to know. Why is it so? Lord Krishna says, akritātmānaḥ, asamskritātmānaḥ, those who have not taken time and not made an effort to prepare their mind. Those who have not made effort to purify their mind. Purification of making the mind free from the ragadveshas. By karma yoga, by performing the karma or the action with the right attitudes. So by the right attitudes, by the right values, those who are not, so this is also what we have to do simultaneously. So while we are listening to the scriptures, simultaneously remember that we must be also alert about removing this raga-dveshas from the mind. What is pratipaksha-bhavana? When anger arises, deal with it by forgiveness. When hatred arises, deal with it right away by compassion. When jealousy arises, deal with it right away by congratulating the person for whom I am jealous. Meaning sharing in his happiness. If somebody made progress, then I share in his happiness, then jealousy will not arise. So like this, those who are constantly striving to make their mind, keep their mind clear, like how particular we are to keep our clothes clean, even little drop of tea drop, you know, right away I put the teacup aside and I wipe out. Because the cloth is very precious. But lots of stains come to our mind and we don't take trouble to wipe them out. Jealousy comes, one stain. Anger comes, another stain. Greed comes, another stain. Hurt comes, another stain. Like the cloth of our mind keeps on getting stained again and again, we don't do anything about it. Right away you must clean it. Those who are not only listening, shravanam, mananam, etc., but simultaneously also making the effort of entertaining right attitudes, right values, and purifying their mind. This samskrita-atma, asamskrita-atmana, those who have not purified their mind, they do not see achetasaha, that viveka or discrimination does not arise in them, and therefore they, what is the discrimination? That the subject is different from the object. Right now, this lumping together of subject and object to separate them. So the purpose of describing the story of Jivatma is for the sake of knowledge. Understand that many stories are told. This is also a story. Lord Krishna says there is a fraction and there is a way of explaining. The purpose is self-knowledge. Ultimately, all models, all examples, all stories are told therefore leading us to the self-knowledge. So in this section also, Lord Krishna described whatever Lord described our day-to-day life and our samsara for how that can become the occasion for knowing the self. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Vadarayanam Sutra Bhashya Krutau Vande Bhagavantau Punah Punah.